Wake up weekday mornings, LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader, 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, many say change is good, and that certainly happened in the town of Huntington. And the focus of our final spotlight segment on Long Island change after 24 years with Mr. Frank Petrone having the reins in the town of Huntington. And the baton has now been passed to Mr. Chad Lupinacci, fine assemblyman at one time. Indeed, the supervisor of the town. We welcome him, first time as the supervisor. Mr. Supervisor Chad, how are you?
How are you?
Hey, it's great to have you.
Yes, it's great to be on again. Now my new role.
Yeah. Talked to you during the campaign, and I got to tell you, you know, following all these races, that seemed to me was going to be a bit of a dogfight for you, but you came through really in flying colors there.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is an area, Huntington is an area that will, it's a swing town, depending on who the candidate is and who the people go out to vote. But we had a very grassroots-oriented campaign, whether it was on social media, whether it was with TV commercials, whether it was direct mail. But in the end, it was meeting the voters and seeing what was on their minds. I actually had a plan where I walked to over 10,000 homes from August right through November on Election Day.
And it seemed to really pay off. As you know, we spoke with Ed Wertheim, you know, the same kind of situation with Pat Vecchio having the reins in Smithtown for so long. Is that always kind of tough when you follow kind of an iconic guy in Frank Petrone? He did a heck of a job for the town, in a sense, Chad. Is that kind of tough as far as a leader who has been on board for so long? And it's really about, you know, trying to create your own identity. And I'm sure that was kind of the mindset taking over this stuff.
Right. And what the voters wanted, they wanted someone that was going to be compassionate about the town, care about the town, look at the long-range vision. And I think that's a lot of what my predecessor, Frank Petrone, did for 24 years. So it was the first time in basically a quarter of a century people had a choice of who was going to lead the town, a non-incumbent. And, you know what, they did take the job very seriously, the voters. I could tell you, you know, usually on an election cycle like 2017, you would see the voter turnout like 20, 21%. Based on, I believe, the open seat of supervisor in the Constitutional Convention, we reached a voter turnout of 36%, which is, you know, pretty impressive for an odd year election.
No question about it. Talking with Chad Lupinacci, of course, who has taken the reins in the town of Huntington. Call it the Constitutional Convention or not, people did come out, no question, in full. And I kind of said going into the races, Chad, in November, that it was really one of the more important election-type years here on Long Island, all of Long Island. And you look at what took place with the county executive in Nassau, the Hempstead supervisor with a Democrat taking the reins, first time in a century. You look at what happened in Riverhead. You know, just change all over the place. And a lot of people, you know, kind of made a sense of the fact that, you know what, if it's not working, we got to fix it our way. And I think people kind of took that initiative. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think they wanted to hear a common theme across Long Island. They wanted to hear about ethics reform. They wanted to hear about more transparency. You know, in some areas of Long Island, term limits were very popular. They wanted more civic engagement with community groups. And I think that for a period of time, some people in some towns felt they were basically ignored or not part of the political process. And they wanted to become more involved. They just didn't think that sometimes the government gave them the tools to get them involved. So you saw that on the campaign trail that, you know, people kind of knew who their elected officials are. They knew that there was an election coming up. But they didn't see that the government was trying to engage them, even though they wanted to get engaged. And I think that was an overall theme that you saw, that some people just did business as usual while ignoring their constituency. And I think that's where you saw a lot of the change in those areas.
No question. We are talking with Chad Lupinacci. He became the 81st supervisor in Huntington history, town of Huntington. Interesting this past week. Last week, I guess, $2 million, Chad, to be put back into the job status in and around the area. And I think a lot of people were pleased regarding that number and how, you know, the economy will be pumped up even more there, huh?
Yeah, so whatever, you know, aid can come to our localities, whether it's to businesses, whether it's infrastructure from the state of New York is, or from any type of a municipality grant is going to help us. So, you know, what we are trying to do is bring as many businesses as we can to the area, whether it's small businesses or the business along the 110 corridor. And our goal is not only to build up businesses, but to retain the businesses that are here. Over the past year, we've seen some major outfits and some major businesses leave the Huntington area. If you look at First Data, you know, left with quite a few hundred jobs and relocated their people throughout the country. FedEx closed down a facility with several hundred jobs, too. So what we did in this last board meeting is we appointed, because it was a vacancy, a new director of the Community Development Agency. So they'll be helping us not only on housing initiatives and community development, also economic development, to see which ways we can become a more business-friendly community, which ways we can entice businesses to not only stay here, but also entice new businesses to locate here. And I think that's all very important as we continue, you know, to recover as an economy and make sure that there are enough jobs in our area.
And I tell you, the Main Street area of Huntington has always been impressive to me, having done a lot of business as a salesperson in my day, and I always had thought that was as vibrant a Main Street as there were in Suffolk County. And, you know, listen, to pump that much money back into having businesses stay here and everything else, well, that can only arise, but even a very more impressive Main Street could be on the way here, huh?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's probably one of the most vibrant downtowns in Long Island. Just in terms of some small retail businesses, but also the mixture of bars and restaurants. It's a great walkable area, a great time to spend a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night. And one of the initiatives we are working on right now is a parking structure down in Huntington Village, because you hear the stories of people not being able to find parking on Friday or Saturday night. We do have a parking committee that has studied several locations. There has been some money, you know, dedicated from the state for this. And it's something that's been in the work or spoken about. You can go back to plans and look at it, plans in the late 1950s, that the future was going to have a parking garage down in Huntington Village. So we're going to be looking at using several kind of factors when addressing the parking in downtown Huntington. Number one, looking at a structure. Number two, looking at a new app for your phones that will basically tell you if you're parking at a parking meter, how much it's going to cost to be able to pay by the parking meter, and to see which available spots are going to be. And then the third is looking at some of our larger employers, like the Paramount, and continue to do employee parking where they park off-site and then they're shuttled into the village to alleviate, you know, that could be 150 to 200 spots right there on a Friday or Saturday night. But definitely it's something we don't want to turn people away. We want to make sure that as many people that want to come down to Huntington Village do come, they spend the money, they eat at the excellent foods, and to show that we are going to try to facilitate and make it as easy and best a night or day as possible for them.
Happy to hear that regarding downtown parking. Absolutely, one of the more vibrant areas around the county. If you can, you know, somehow enhance that situation, and that you're going to have a lot of people, very happy people. To me, that's always been a turnoff. You know, you go into some of these great towns, Port Jefferson including, you know, the parking is always an issue there. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get so fed up, you leave, you go elsewhere. You want to make sure you keep people in your neck of the woods and give them plenty of opportunities. So that's important.
Right.
Very important stuff. Talking with Chad Lupinacci. He is the supervisor, of course, the town of Huntington, 81st supervisor in all of the town. You know, I always remember, Chad, you had spoken, you brought it up in the conversation just minutes ago regarding term limits. You know, a lot of people have this on their minds, especially, you know, with all the corruptive practices we have seen all over the state. Transparency, a very big key here as far as people want to know more about their government is concerned. But I certainly remember you were a very staunch supporter of having term limits in place.
Yes. And basically, we've had two town board meetings so far, one in the beginning of January and one just last week. And one of the first things we did at a reorganization meeting is we increased the number of town board meetings. For the past several years, they've only been held in the afternoon once a month. So we increased the number of town board meetings to two, so twice a month, one in the afternoon and one in the evening, to give people more of a chance to come to town hall, express their feeling, see the process, you know, firsthand. Eventually, we would like to take some of the town board meetings on the road to different areas of the town, and then we'll be working on that in the next several months. The second thing that we did at the last board meeting is that we are now going to be live streaming our town board meetings. So it used to be that they were all recorded and shown on, you know, Optimum Channel 18 or the Verizon Channel 38, but or you can go back and look them at on the town website. But now you'll be able to watch them live streamed on those channels too, and that's going to be starting in the next few weeks. So we're going to go live streaming of the town board meetings, the zoning board meetings, and the planning board meetings. And then the last thing that we did at the last meeting was we did institute term limits. So we have with their pass for all our elected officials in the town, so it affects the town board, the town supervisor, the receiver of taxes, the town clerk, and the superintendent of highways. And we're term limited for a total of 12 years or 3 4-year consecutive terms. And that's instituted, and that will take place after or during this election cycle.
Interesting. So, once again, you know, we'll see. But, you know, when you have a guy who's certainly been leading the helm for 24 years, as Frank Petrone has, you know, you get mixed reviews, let's face it. And if your hands are tied, well, such is the case. You know, Mr. Petrone kept winning and winning and winning. You know, listen, people like to see change at various points. So, in essence, we'll see what happens with that, right?
Yeah, and basically what you have, it's a template of, I mean, if you look at New York City, their council people have 2 4-year terms or a total of 8 years. You know, Suffolk County has, you know, a total of 12 years, six 2-year terms. So we used it as a 12-year template, just like the county did. And I believe the same thing that the town of Islip does. I think they've had term limits since the mid-90s. I mean, what you do here is that sometimes when someone's serving several decades in the same office, that they kind of, you know, don't have the vigor that they had once when they came in, the energy. And if you look at a lot of the people that have become corrupt or have gone to jail over a period of time, usually it's the people that are there for a long, extensive period of time. And sometimes they're so much ingrained in the system, they don't realize the difference between right or wrong. That's one of the things that we've heard. So it's not that we don't want people that are public servants to continue serving, but, you know, maybe they'll serve as, you know, town supervisor and then seek another elected position, or they'll go from town board and then seek another elected position. So they could still be a dedicated public service, but just using the expertise, using the background for another position.
So I'm with Chad Lubinacci. He is the supervisor of the town of Huntington. Now, you've done something that you kind of bucked the trend of the latest, at least, and I'm talking about the signage, Chad. We have seen the county executive pretty much state, you know what, don't put my name on any of the signs as far as parks and all sorts of recreational adventures all within. We have seen that from Laura Gillen as well as Hempstead. We have seen it now out east with Laura Jen Smith in Riverhead. You know, it's saving costs and whatnot. You've kind of taken an opposite approach, and I kind of like the approach. Why not put Chad Lubinacci's name on some of the signs out there? Heck, you are the leader of this town, something that we have not seen a change in 24 years. Quite frankly, if that was me, I'd want my name out there just to let people know there is new leadership in and around. Was that kind of the mindset you're thinking with this?
Well, it was interesting because we never really, what happened was when I took office on January 1st, it was so tradition for the, we have in-house sign makers for the town. So it's just a tradition when there's ever after election day, they just make the signs because that's been the tradition, whether it's been Frank Petrone names for 24 years or the town board members that have been there for a while. And, you know, so our signs are on our parks and our beaches. And basically, we don't have whole signs. We have basically like name placards. So you flip it off and you put up the new one. So it's not like putting up a whole new sign. So the cost is very minimal. And I always think, you know, I'm a government professor myself. And, you know, it's good when people know who their elected officials are. I mean, there's so many various elected officials, so many levels of government, whether or not they're confused on the day they go to vote or just who to call when they have a problem. So I think this gives notice to people that if they're at a park or if they or if they're at the beach and they see litter, they see a broken fence, they see that the park bench is not, you know, working right, that they know who to call. Our phone numbers are up there. Our website is up there. So it gives people, I think, more accountability so they know who to call, especially when you go to some parks or some beaches. They could be county, they could be state, they could be town. So this kind of gives them a little bit of, you know, identity to see who's in charge of the beach, who's in charge of the park, and who they can go to. And Newsday asked myself, and they also asked my fellow board members, and we were all, I believe, in unison, at least, you know, from the Newsday article, that, you know, it kind of gives people accountability and letting them know who their government officials are. And I think that's I think, the historical point of the signs. And I think that continues to be part of good government.
Hey, listen, I kind of agree with you. If it was me, I'd want a hamburger named after me. I want to make sure that when people go through the drive-thrus of the takeout places, you know what? Put my name in there as what? Listen, I want people to know that they can count on me if there's an issue anywhere. Seriously, and especially after you have a guy who's been there so long. Now, certainly, you know, there's two categories that you're going to be keeping an eye on. Obviously, we know we have a serious drug problem here. In your neck of the woods, Huntington Station has been an area in which there has been crime. There has been some altercations and whatnot, gang activity. It's all over the place. But these are two areas as well, Chad, I'm sure you're going to keep an eye on. Talk to me a little bit about the drug situation. It's all about the treatment centers and whatnot, getting people comfortable knowing that there's help. The schools have to start. The signage has to be there. Certainly that comes into play during your regime here.
Right. Definitely. And late last year, there was a measure to create an opioid and heroin task force. And we'll be appointing members to that task force for the town in the beginning of February. So we're going to – their responsibility will help coordinate for us a policy for our town to help battle the heroin opioid crisis and see how we could be a part with other levels of government to kind of combat the crisis that we face, looking at, you know, the number, looking at grant money that we could help to facilitate, looking at the training that we can do for our employees, whether it's Narcan training or helping to see the signs of people that are addicted, and also looking how we can help out along with the police department, especially through our public safety, maybe to see where there's hot button areas where heroin is occurring or where drug dealing is occurring. So the more that we could do with our second precinct and the Suffolk County cops and our public safety in coordination and having all the levels of government address this, I think will be very important. And the same thing goes with the gang activity too. How can we facilitate or help out the school districts identify and see the problems, and how can our public safety help along with the second precinct? And that's very important because we meet with, as a supervisor, with the second precinct leaders all the time. And they keep us up to speed and let us know what we could do to help. And we go back and tell them the information that we have, too. So I think it's working together and coordinating our efforts, both on the drug front and, of course, the gang front, too.
No question about it. A couple of minutes left with the new supervisor of the town of Huntington. His name, of course, Chad Lubinacci. Chad, can you bring us up to speed? I know there was a LIPA case there, an over-assessment case, that could pay out in a negative way, I guess, if it went to court. What is the latest here regarding this fight as far as LIPA is concerned?
Well, basically what we have is that this has to do with the Northport power plant and the over-assessment in terms of the tax assessment on the plant. And this has been litigation that's been going on since 2010. And there's basically two parts of the litigation. One has to do with a tax certiorari case, for example, a tax grievance, like if any of us were to go grieve our real estate taxes. And the other part has to do with what we call a third-party beneficiary case, of how the town could have been a third-party beneficiary of the agreement between, when the LIPA plan was created. So right now, the parties are going back and forth, and they're looking at, putting in a timeline to see see when the next discussions are going to be. And basically looking at, you know, different scenarios, whether or not we go full press to court or whether or not there's a settlement. So those are two options that can occur, to go through with the litigation and actually have it go to, you know, full trial, or to negotiate or settle. So basically those are the two options, and that's what our legal teams are looking at, you know, right now. And we should have some kind of, I would say, determination or some kind of a prospect of what's occurring probably by around April or May. And as both sides continue to meet and, you know, exchange information.
Well, I tell you, nothing like LIPA causing problems. Just going over cases right now, especially of a decommissioned plant in Nassau County that has certainly created havoc for many a ratepayer regarding New York American Water. But that's a whole nother story. Finally,
the LIPA situation just doesn't affect Huntington. It also, there's similar cases in terms of it affects, you know, Brookhaven, of course, Huntington, and the parts of Nassau County also, based on the power plants that are there, too.
No question about it. Before we let you go, you have an interesting town board. I know Susan Berlin resigned, I think it was mid-December. She, of course, has now taken the post as a legislator in the 16th District. You have a very demonstrative Gene Cook, who's a friend of mine, and I love Gene, and he's very vocal about it, very passionate about many an issue there. But you have an interesting town board there shaping up, Chet.
Yeah, so we basically have two Democrats, and then two Republicans, and then one independent that caucuses with the Republicans. So, you know, basically, you know, and each come with different backgrounds, each with different ideas. But I think, you know, as the months go on, you'll see us producing good government, things that the people care about, whether it's job creation or dealing with the heroin crisis or public safety or transparency and accountability and ethics reform. And I think we all hold that vision for Huntington and those common goals in sight. And I think we're going to work very well together.
Well, Chet, it's been a pleasure. And hopefully we'll have you on periodically all throughout the year. How's that sound?
Yes, that sounds great. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Chet, great to have you. Good luck with everything. And by the way, you know, for people who don't know, I was reading, Chet, and I cover everything, you know that. But I was reading, you're about 6'6". And you got to make some alterations to that desk. Oh, I hope that happens for you.
They put it on blocks to raise it up so I could fit under the desk on my first day. But even though I've been in the office plenty of times meeting with Mr. Petron, I was on the other side of the desk. I was never, you know, at the helm of the desk there.
Great talking with you, man. We'll talk soon.
Great. Thanks a lot. Take care.